Now the word of God from Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 25. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, there was a preacher one day who was giving a sermon about perfection. And he was quoting John Wesley, who's the founder of the Methodist Church back in the late 1700s. And in one of John Wesley's books that he wrote had to do with going on to perfection. John Wesley believed that the more we walked with Jesus, the more we were allowed ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, the more perfect we became inside in our spirits. Now, he also said that we would continue to fail in our flesh, make mistakes, sin, but that we could draw closer to God in our spirits, in our desire to please God. So, the pastor, he's given this sermon, and then he stopped and he asked the congregation, do you know anybody who's perfect? Well, nobody said anything at first, and then a man in the back raised his hand, and he says, well, I don't know the fellow personally, he says, but I've heard an awful lot about him. He's supposed to be perfect. It's my wife's first husband. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can't get away from that. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote all the epistles there, he confessed to the world, put it in writing, that he too struggled with sin. The Apostle Paul, who met Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus, he said, I know what the right thing is to do. He says, I know the difference between right and wrong. And the thing that I know that I shouldn't do, he said, that's what I do. He says, the right thing I should do, I don't do that. He says, but I do the wrong thing. The thing that I know is a sin, that's what I do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. And if the Apostle Paul is willing to confess and admit that he struggled with sin, we should be able to do the same likewise. Anybody who says they don't sin and who says they're perfect, they're deceiving themselves. The danger is that we become so tired of doing the same sin and repenting, sinning and repenting, sinning and repenting, that we quit repenting and we quit struggling with sin. Then our hearts become hard, and that sinful thing that we used to do, we just ignore it. Becomes like a cancer in our spirits. No, none of us are perfect. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. It's important in more ways than one. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to who? Who said that? Jesus said that. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And how do we come to Jesus? Through prayer? How else? church. We're coming to Jesus. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there is he in the midst of them. So through prayer and church, how else? Doing random things, doing ministry, being involved, giving God a sacrifice of your time and your talents and your gifts to help other people. That is being Christ-like. That's how you come to Jesus. And reading the Bible, studying the Word of God, draws us closer unto Jesus. So Jesus said, come unto me. Because if I said, come unto me, you would do what? Run the other way? What's that? Okay, I love this side of the church. You know that side of it. But Jesus said, come unto me. So this is how we come unto him. Through prayer and worship, study of the word, and getting involved. Jesus then said, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. Ha! Weary and burdened. What does he mean by that, weary and burdened? Does he mean tired from doing physical labors? That when we get tired of working, we should sit down and pray and study the Bible and rest? What? People who are sick, that's a burden. Weary and burdened. People who are struggling with life. People who are stressed out. Stressed out. You can have a job that you really enjoy doing, and it doesn't stress you out. Who has a job like that? Has a job that you really enjoy doing? If you have a job you enjoy doing, raise your hand. Okay, if you have a job you do not enjoy doing, raise your hand. And a whole lot of you just aren't working. You're retired. Do you enjoy that? Okay. It is now. We won't ask her if she's enjoying it either, so we'll just leave that on. But when we don't enjoy what we're doing, when we're worried about the outcome, then we become stressed. We become weary. It wears out our spirits. And Jesus is saying that if you are weary and burdened, if you feel like you're carrying a great load in life, he's saying, come to me. Come to me. The Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. There were two young men walking through the neighborhood one day. Two brothers. One was an older brother. One was a younger brother. And it was a beautiful day out, much like today. And they're walking around. They're saying hi to people working in their yards, washing their cars, people they pass on the road. You know, they're just walking down the sidewalk through the neighborhood. And the younger brother, he gets tired. I'm tired. We've been walking so long. He says, carry me. So the older brother picks him up, and he's carrying him. No easy chore, but he's carrying him. And they're walking down the road and on the sidewalk there. And they're passing a man sitting on the steps. And the man says, wow, that's quite a burden you've got there. And the older brother says, it's no burden. He's not heavy. He's my brother. When we do things for family, it may be physically exhausting. It may be even nerve-wracking. But we do it as an act of love. And when it's an act of love, it doesn't stress us out. When we're worried about the outcome of things, that's when we get stressed. Jesus is saying, don't worry about the outcome. Leave it up to me. I'll take care of it. Just come to me. Come to me. Learn from me. Jesus wants us to learn from him. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke? Something heavy around your neck and around the neck of somebody else, like in cattle. And that yoke holds those two oxen together. Where one goes, the other goes. And they work together, and it makes the work easier. And Jesus is saying, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we are to take Jesus' yoke upon us. What yoke does Jesus have? Who's Jesus yoked to? Jesus is yoked to who? To God. Jesus is yoked to the Father. The Son is yoked to the Father. And how is he yoked to the Father? What's that yoke look like? It's not a piece of wood. How is he yoked to the Father? Spiritually. Jesus is yoked to the Father because he gets up every morning and he's up on the mountainside praying. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, away from all distractions, praying. He is fasting so that he doesn't even have to think about food, praying. He says, I don't do anything or say anything unless God the Father tells me what to do and what to say. And he goes into the synagogue and he worships and he reads the scriptures. He comes to the Father. That is how he is yoked to the Father. And now Jesus is telling us to be yoked to him. And if you're yoked to the Son, you're also yoked to the Father. Jesus said, if you'll do that, if you'll be yoked to me, you will then learn from me. And if we learn from him, what is he going to teach us? John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Matthew 28, he said to go into the whole world, baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So Jesus wants to teach us his commands. His commands are truth. The truth about the world, the truth about eternity, the truth about sin and salvation. And what does the truth do for us? Sets us free. So if you're weary and burdened, all stressed out, Jesus is saying, come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, because the truth is going to set you free. And then you will find rest for your souls. And in the world today, the people are looking for rest for their souls in all the wrong places. People are stressed out. And they're trying all the wrong things to find peace. They're taking their problems to all the wrong places. I'm telling you, how many people here do jigsaw puzzles? And I love jigsaw puzzles. Do them on a computer all the time. If you've ever done a jigsaw puzzle, raise your hand. If you've ever seen a picture of one, raise your hand. If you're here and breathing, raise your hand. I think that was everybody. There is a God-shaped hole in us, in our spirits. And we're always trying to fill that God-shaped hole. And when we can't, when we try to shove a square peg into a round hole, it causes stress. When we try to play God, it doesn't work. When we try to manipulate things so that it'll have specific outcomes, when we're worried about how things are going to turn out, what the results are, we're playing God, and that doesn't work. But when we come unto Jesus, take his yoke upon him, take his yoke upon us, and we learn from him, then all of a sudden, it fits. And we find rest for our souls. So if you need rest for your soul, or you know somebody who does, you've got the answer. You know what to tell them. Tell them they need to go to Jesus. Tell them what that involves in order to go to Jesus. Tell them to take his yoke upon them. Explain that to them. And tell them they need to learn from him. And then they'll find rest for their souls. And never quit struggling with the sin in your life. Don't ever do that. Ask God for a heart of flesh to take away that heart of stone. Ask God to convict you of the things that you've done wrong and the things you've done, not done right, that you should have done right, because that too is a sin. That's all part of coming to Jesus. God loves you, and so do I. If you'll look in your hymnal, we've got a prayer of confession. It's number 8893 in your hymnal. But in your bulletin, it's right there below the sermon. Let's read this responsively. Lord, we confess our day-to-day failure to be truly human. Lord, we confess that we often fail to love with all we have and are, often because we do not fully understand what loving means, often because we are afraid of risking ourselves. Lord, we cut ourselves off from each other and we erect barriers of division. Lord, we confess that by silence and ill-considered word, Lord, we confess that by selfishness and lack of sympathy, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us to listen to your word of forgiveness, for we are very deaf. Come, fill this moment and free us from sin. Amen. There's a lot of sin in life. Gossiping, idol worship, lusting, pride, greed, causing trouble, dissension, a lot of sin in life. We're all sinners. We need the help. And God is there to help us.